A speaker series kicks off at MOCAD next week. It's called the Seed Series. It's put together by Allied Media Projects, and it's taking a look at how we activate Detroit neighborhoods through art and activism, both things that have been in the DNA of Detroit for quite some time. And one of those talks in particular caught our attention. It's called Hoodwork, Neighborhood as Resistance. It's a look at how the neighborhoods of Detroit are driving the city's cultural renaissance, even as they deal with disinvestment, trauma, and violence. Culture Shift's Tia Graham is here with me to introduce you to some of the panelists that will be part of that discussion happening next Thursday at 7 o'clock at the MOCAD. Tia, how you doing?
Doing pretty well, Ryan, and I thank you for that, because honestly, that's one of the things I thought of as soon as I saw the title of this particular panel. I said, we have to discuss what they're going to be discussing during this panel. And the big question this panel was trying to answer is, how can we center and uplift neighborhood-rooted artists in the city of Detroit and redistribute the resources needed for these communities to thrive? Joining the show is Bryce Detroit. He is a multimodal Afrofuturist artist, an activist, a designer, and a pioneer of the term and the entire movement, entertainment justice. And Nandi Comer is Michigan's poet laureate, a teacher, a writer, activist. She's here to talk more about the panel and connecting communities and activists together. Thank you both for joining the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So jumping into things, Nandi, what is the Allied Media Projects, or AMP Seeds, project?
So Allied Media Projects is a network of projects and communities that are rooted in Detroit and connected to communities all over the world. And AMP serves as really a support for that infrastructure. We do that through fiscal sponsorship and by amplifying the voices of the people in that network and the people that they're tied to. So that's where the AMP Seeds program comes from. Every year, since the pandemic, what happened was our network was under crisis, all of us. When we all got experience shut down, we were all at home and we were all wondering what to do. So the AMP Seeds program decided to start the AMP Seeds series. And that is what started the where we started to address issues that were directly affecting us during the pandemic. And we had mothers talking about how to talk to their children about violence. We had artists talking about how to prepare for in a virtual world. But since we're about 3 years since COVID really impacted our space, this year we decided to do an in-person event where we would turn internally to the Detroit community and really think about how the city would like to gather, how our organizers and our grassroots organizers want to gather. And so we came up with four events that would help to address some of the issues that we're all looking at in terms of social impact.
And, you know, it's interesting to think about it. We actually talked about a little bit earlier that there was an event that was already postponed or is going to be rescheduled, hopefully, due to the issues with our air quality. I mean, we've already seen the impacts of air quality here in the city of Detroit with we constantly have poor air quality. But to add on the fires from Canada, it added on to the stress that we see. Talk about, if you can, or go into, how that has led to the discussion that we're going to see later this fall, almost, about climate change.
Sure. So we are looking at a lot of different topics this series. We're looking at dance and mobility. That's the event that we actually had to cancel. But we are doing an online series on Instagram where we'll highlight some of those dancers. And those dancers are invited to open up all of the remaining events.
Nice.
Basically, that conversation is something that AMP is really dedicated towards, and that's how do we create spaces that are accessible for everyone? And we're not talking about just the spectrum of abilities. We're actually talking about how can your gender body enter a space? How can your age enter a space? And so that conversation, while we had it privately, we will be putting up some things on Instagram for people to continue that conversation. The event that we're having next week on the 13th, the one that Bryce is a part of, is the Hoodwork event, where we're talking about how artists really take up their own arms and change their communities when they really want to see something different. And then we have our only event that actually is going to invite some guests from out of town to collaborate with some local farmers. We are going to be streaming Gather the Film, which highlights folks that are doing food solidarity around the country. And we're going to put them in, after the film, we're putting them in conversation with a local farmer, Kristen Kirby Shute. And they will also be presenting some indigenous food practices to the community. And our last event, the climate crisis event, Wage Love, which is really close to my heart right now, considering that we had to cancel our first event because of air quality. We will be looking looking really closely in the neighborhood of where the AMP's new building is located, Core City. There's some organizers who've been looking at, who've been fighting against the concrete busting company that will be featured. There are also some other environmental activists that will be featured on the panel talking about how they, as organizers, not only are thinking about climate as like global warming, but also climate in a neighborhood sense. Like, how do factories affect us? How can growing affect us? How are we able to, you know, keep our homes and keep safe in moments where we have large-scale electrical outages or gas issues? These are all what we consider climate issues as well. So,
and, you know, Nandi, I'm thinking about what you said a little bit earlier about artists taking back the power and taking that, you know, that power and helping their own communities. To both of you, Bryce, as well as Nandi, when we think about artistry and we think about some of the activism that's always been in Black art, especially the civil rights movement, you think about a lot of the artists that were coming out and speaking out in protest. How do you see that today compared to what we were seeing then when we talk about artists in Detroit being the voices leading some of the changes?
Boom. We'd love to jump in. So from a Detroit movement perspective, one way that that's been expressing itself for sure the last 10 years mm-hmm. has been in this insurgence, this influx of younger people into the movement. And Bryce was a part of that decade, that generation of people who entered the space, and we entered from projecting from our artist identity, knowing that we care a lot and we want to use our art and our cultural production to be of benefit in concrete ways, knowing that, and also knowing that as artists, historically, knowing our role in the movement, and then on some Sankofa tip, can we use emphatic language here? Or no? Is it PG?
It's pretty PG.
PG. Okay. All right. On a Sankofa tip, then bringing that point of cultural literacy and legacy forward, and knowing that in the now we have very real issues that are impacting many of us, front line tip, many of us. And we have a lot of real righteous work to do, you know what I mean, in this lifetime of ours. So from that compelling, it's like, yo, let us use our modality to support how people are feeling about, one, to support how people are feeling about the work that we all have to do together. Also to support our people in articulating exactly how they feel. Because the, period, new sentence, the artist, one of the things that to me is our cultural, spiritual responsibility is to support people in articulating emotions. One reason is because the artist is the one who deputizes themselves to be a professional sensory, you know what I mean, device. Like, I'm just going to sit here all day long and access, connect with my feelings at any given moment in time. And then from there, what my production is going to end up being is and emotional articulation. That is what, when we give it to the world, it creates an opportunity for somebody else to be like, oh, snap, that, okay, that's exactly, okay. So, yeah, definitely in the movement tip, there's been a major shift in the way that social justice, environmental justice, organizing happens. Even, for instance, Allied Media Conference and the way that that has grown over the last decade, to me, there's a direct corollary between these new generations of artists and cultural producers entering the movement and media-based cultural organizing even being a thing. Like, not a, like, of course it was a thing, yet an articulate thing.
Yeah.
Where people are like, yes, I'm a media-based cultural organizer. I'm a media-based organizer, such to the point where that language allowed me to more precisely identify Bryce. Like, okay, Bryce, you do media-based cultural organizing as a music producer. Yeah, dot, dot, dot. That's a rich answer.
No, I'm so glad that you brought that up about the media-based organizing and thinking about the lineages that we operate in as artists, right? I think that that's one of the key things that we'll be looking at. It's important to us that we not only have, Bryce will be joined by Asia Hamilton, but also by Tyree Guyton, who's been doing it for decades, you know, thinking about how to reimagine his community. And one of the things that I've noticed about artists, and maybe I would even say specifically Detroit artists, because our Detroit neighborhoods have been underfunded or divested in a sense. And so oftentimes artists are the ones that are the visual representation of how communities are constantly thinking about how to sustain itself. That doesn't mean that they're the only ones. But sometimes you'll drive through a neighborhood, you're like, oh, there's a sculpture in the middle of this field.
Yeah.
Or there's a mural. And these weren't funded by foundations. They were not created because we thought there was going to be a huge party, or it could have been a party. But oftentimes the artists are the ones that are looking around their community and thinking of ways to visually represent the energy that is already in existence in that community. It isn't something about revitalization. I think a lot of times artists get pulled in to talk about revitalization when the neighborhoods are already vital. We are visually representing those connections that we already have.
But that's the complicated thing about it, right? Because Bryce, I hear where you're coming from, that idea of a lot of times the artists are in these neighborhoods. It is that mural or sculpture that, for people that are driving through, maybe never considered that neighborhood, never been there before, it's the thing that gets them thinking about it and the conflicts within that, right? Because it's fantastic for the community to have that energy represented. Mm-hmm. It can be a very positive thing, but quite literally in the t-shirt you're wearing, Hood Closed to Gentrifiers,
yes,
a lot of times that art can attract people that want to invest, people that want to take advantage. And it's often the arts in the neighborhoods that are the first thing that makes a neighborhood attractive to developers, real estate agents, and everybody in between,
yeah,
which
yes,
is a weird line to have to walk.
It is.
Which is one of the reasons why the event is called Hood as Resistance, mm-hmm, and not just a resistance to divestment. It's a resistance towards anything that is trying to impact those neighborhoods in a kind of negative way that would seek to displace those artists. And that's one of the reasons why I really wanted Bryce to, when we were thinking about curating, we got to get Bryce in here, because his neighborhood, the North End, is a really good example. If you want to share about how you all have been working in the North End in terms of that kind of work.
Boom. And we're going to tie this to something that you just spoke on. Okay, so for me, yes, there is a seeming contradiction that the artist active in neighborhoods must navigate, which is the commodification of art within the context of real estate development, as well as cultural art as cultural marking. So for me, we'll say this in a way, this is me practicing saying something in a way that's a tease to come out to the MoCad joint, you know what I'm saying, on July 13th.
This is the single before you get the album
that part,
on Thursday at 7 o'clock at
that
MoCad
part. So there is a distinction between art and cultural representation. Mm. There is cultural representation that is expressed with such a meticulous degree of craft that the art is undeniable. Mm-hmm. Yet, what we're actually seeing are people in a place communicating through that medium their cultural identity and their cultural legacies. That is distinct from quote unquote art on buildings, which is in most instances homogenous, culturally homogenous, simply to the point of adding some sparks, some twinkles for the eyes to give a different initial impression about some regular ass architecture.
Here's my question to you. Are you talking
for
about
real?
This? So, you know, I don't want to, you know, put it out there in this way, but what do you feel about the City Walls Project? We're talking, you know, we talk about that often, the City Walls Project of the City of Detroit. Is that one of the things that you're thinking in your mind? Like, that's one of those programs where it's doing something, but is it doing enough?
So, I'm first going to acknowledge that there are heart-led, lifelong Native Detroiters in these city positions who are advocating to the best of their ability. They're advocating to create opportunities for us, the majority Detroit, for us to make money beautifying our neighborhood and in our craft of art. So I'm acknowledging that first. Now, these programs, one thing about these programs, which to me is important to name, there was a time when the black and brown faces that this program promotes in its advertisements, those black and brown faces doing the exact same things that in 2023 they're being commissioned to do were criminalized by this administration. It took very real organizing and mobilizing on a criminal justice level. That was the intersection of art and criminal justice, because you have straight up young black and brown beautiful people who are not spraying gang signs. We're talking about people who are putting their family names on buildings that an administration allows to go through architectural death with no fines, seemingly no protocols to mitigate this from happening. From a point of resilience and resourcefulness, and as an act of custodianship, like, I'm going to beautify, wrap it up, B, copy that. But you know what I'm saying? I'm going to beautify this joint. And so all that to the point, just like putting that as a thing out there for us to also be cognizant of, like what we're seeing today, is because people were getting arrested and people on the ground level had to advocate for this activity to not be criminalized, but to be seen as a real grassroots approach towards developing your neighborhood, starting with beautification through cultural marking.
And these are the type of discussions that are going to be happening. We're going to see these type of conversations, these open discussions happening during the panel discussion next week, of course. But then we're also going to see it throughout the entire Seed series when we're talking about different things that are impacting all types of different Detroiters and across the city. So before we start to get down to the end of this thing, we definitely want to talk a little bit about the Love Building in Core City, which is going to be housing the final Seed series conversation, Waging Love, Building an Environmentally Just Detroit, which is a conversation that's in the the front of all of our minds right now. So if you could just, when is the building opening up and what should we know?
So the building will be open in the fall. We'll be doing that event is actually a part of multiple events that'll be happening around that time. So look out for the Alley Media Project's website for more announcements and our Instagram for more announcements about when you can come into the building and see how beautiful the building is. We are working towards it being one of the most accessible buildings in the city. And so that's something that we're really proud of. But also I want to mention that another part of our accessibility plan is that we've partnered with MOGO to give free rides. So if you are interested in getting to these events, we don't want to have barriers for folks getting to those events. Please reach out to us. We have an accessibility coordinator who can help you not only register for the event, you can register for them online through Eventbrite. There you can get a code for the free bike ride. And that accessibility coordinator will also communicate with us. If you need anything in order for you to be able to attend the event, please let us know and we'll do the best that we can.
Awesome. And one last question before I let you all go, Bryce, I want to really ask the question about entertainment justice. What does that term mean to you and what does it mean to the city of Detroit?
Boom. So as a cultural imperative, entertainment justice acknowledges that there is a disproportionate amount of entertainment media that projects diasporic African people, black people, in a very narrow range of identity. Heavy leaning on criminality. It acknowledges that the entertainer is aware that one of our magic is to influence and inform identity and behavior. So from there, it's let us be intentional about using our magic to create music and media that is designed to be consumed as entertainment to influence us towards the points of ancestrally rooted behaviors and identities that will actualize us as the builders of the new, of the future that so many of us are striving for.
I know. I mean, I know you're an activist. I know you're an entertainer. You're an artist. You're so many things. You're a poet.
Yes.
You're a poet. Just naturally, just a poet just now. I want to say thank you both to Bryce Detroit, the multimodal Afrofuturist artist, activist, designer, pioneer of entertainment justice, which you just learned about, and Nandi Comer, who is Michigan's poet laureate, a teacher, a writer, and also an activist, and also the coordinator of this Seed series from AMP. Definitely check it out. This particular conversation is happening with Bryce next Thursday, July 13th at 7 p.m. at MOCAD. It's called Hoodwork, Neighborhood as Resistance. So definitely check it out and head on over to the AMP's website so you can find out about all the series and all the panels that are coming up.
Completely free, too.
Free 99. That's the biggest thing, too. Free and yeah. You have a free access to get there as well. So take advantage.
Yeah. Just listening to you guys talk, I RSVP'd. I will be there. I'm very, very interested to check this out.
Yes,
so thank you again for joining us here on Culture Shift.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Culture Shift here on WDET.